I'm Tanzina Vega, and you're listening to The Takeaway. Over the past 3 years, Democrats have made gains in state legislatures across the country and hold legislative majorities in 19 states. And one of the top issues on their legislative agendas is gun reform. In Virginia, for example, Democrats flipped the House and Senate in November and now hold full control of the state government for the first time in more than two decades. But while gun control was a top issue for Democratic voters in the state, Democratic lawmakers are not unified about just how far to go with new gun laws. Meanwhile, gun rights activists, as well as far-right militia members, are calling for armed protest in Virginia in response to the push by Democrats for gun control. And we're seeing this play out in other states, too. Last week in Kentucky, a few hundred people, including armed protesters, rallied for gun rights in front of the state house. The fight over gun reform in Virginia could be a preview of what's to come nationally. Greg Schneider is with me to talk through all this. He's a staff writer for The Washington Post who covers Richmond. Greg, welcome to the show.
Hi, Tanzina. Thank you.
And for a national look, I'm joined by Alex Yablon, a reporter who covers guns, extremism, and domestic politics. Thanks for joining us, Alex.
Thanks for having me back.
Greg, what specific gun control legislation are Virginia Democrats proposing?
So there was a mass shooting in Virginia Beach over the summer. And after that, the governor called a special session of the legislature. He put together a package of eight bills, and among those are universal background checks, limiting handgun purchases to one per month. He would ban assault-style weapons. He would ban bump stocks and silencers. He'd require people to report lost or stolen guns, and then would institute what they call red flag laws, these extreme risk protection orders, where if someone has been deemed a risk, a threat to themselves or others, their guns can be temporarily seized.
Those sound like things that have come up recently in the sort of debate, particularly over the summer. As you mentioned, this shooting in Virginia, there were other mass shootings that caught America's attention. In Virginia specifically, Greg, how have the politics of gun control changed?
It's been a dramatic change. Republicans have had control of the House of Delegates here for about 26 years. And anytime any sort of gun restriction law was proposed, they would bottle it up, not even in a full committee. It would go down in a notorious subcommittee. 2 years ago, for instance, after the Parkland shooting, there was a bill that simply would have required people who had daycare facility in their home to lock up their weapons during the time that children were present. And that bill went down along with everything else in the subcommittee. So literally nothing would get through. And then last fall, partly on the strength of this guns issue, which the Post conducted some polling and found guns to be the number one issue among voters last fall in Virginia, the Democrats won majorities and immediately vowed to pick up that package of eight bills that the governor proposed and make them into law.
So, Alex, let's talk about the nationwide picture. I mentioned over the summer a number of high-profile mass shootings that took place that really got this conversation all the way up to the president. Are proponents of gun control gaining more political ground across the country, or has this sort of died out since then?
I think we're going to see a big test of that now that the new year has started, now that a lot of the people who were elected in the midterms are actually coming into office. I think that there absolutely has been a change in favor of the pro-gun control movement. And part of that is because the NRA's political project for so long was deeply entwined with the Republican Party's push towards, you know, its right flank. And the NRA made itself indispensable to that political strategy. The downside of that political strategy is when Republicans lose, as they did in the midterms, the NRA doesn't really have a lot of sway with Democratic politicians, and it's really alienated a lot of middle-class suburbanites, the sorts of folks that we think of as a quintessential swing voters.
Let's talk about who the voters are, because are we seeing a lot of this playing out in the suburbs? Because a lot of these shootings are happening sort of not in, quote unquote, urban centers. But where are we seeing most of the movement on gun control laws?
Yeah, I think it's really become an issue that is very near and dear to suburbanites. A big reason why people move to the suburbs is to raise children. For the past 20 years, a lot of the most disturbing, nationally significant mass shootings have happened in schools. The NRA's response to all these has been to basically propose more guns in schools. And I think that that just terrifies parents. And the rash of mass shootings have given people the sense that, you know, even if you do everything right, you know, you're a solidly upper middle class suburbanite, you send your kids to a public school that's even, you know, comparable to private schools, even then they could still be the victim of a act of violence.
I'm speaking with Alex Yablon, who covers guns, extremism, and domestic politics, and Greg Schneider, a staff writer for The Washington Post, who covers Richmond. Greg, going back to Virginia, how did the Democrats use gun control as a campaign issue?
Well, it's interesting what Alex was talking about. Of course, gun violence has been a problem in Virginia cities for a long time, and a lot of legislators from urban centers have particularly pushed for gun control measures. But one thing that was different last year was that mass shooting in Virginia Beach, coming on the heels of, you know, the national events of mass gun violence that we've seen, that really pushed the issue to the front burner in the suburbs. And it was the suburban districts that made the difference in the elections in giving Democrats majorities. You even saw Republicans in suburban districts in Virginia sort of blurring their party affiliation and running commercials and putting up signs that didn't say they were Republicans, and then they would say they were for common sense gun safety laws. But also the suburbs in Virginia have been changing demographically, and they're a much more diverse population. There are a lot more people who aren't originally from Virginia or even maybe from the United States, and this is an issue that motivated them to get out and vote. A lot of the activists who were energized by it think that it is a turning point and that things will be different from here going forward.
Alex, what about at the national level? Are suburban voters reflecting what Greg is saying nationally?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that the phenomenon that they've seen in Virginia, especially northern Virginia, the D.C. suburbs, which have just exploded in terms of population growth, economic power, and diversity, you're seeing that in states around the country, in North Carolina, for example, in Pennsylvania, in lots of places. Democrats have made these diversifying suburbs a key part of their political strategy. And I think that they've realized that gun violence, mass shootings in particular, have a very visceral hold on these voters.
One other thing I can would add to that is that one thing that happened in Virginia is because of the national interest in this and in the push for the suburbs, the guns issue in particular drew a tremendous amount of money into Virginia's election campaigns last year. And the Michael Bloomberg groups and some of the other gun control advocacy groups poured enormous money into these races.
Alex, we've been talking about how Virginia Democratic candidates were able to use gun reform as a campaign issue, but are there Democratic candidates in other parts of the country who were able to run strongly on gun control legislation?
Lucy McBath, a African-American woman whose son had been killed in a dispute at a convenience store by a quote-unquote law-abiding gun owner, managed to do what John Ossoff, a sort of, you know, straight from central casting, typical moderate Democrat, could not do. Lucy McBath flipped a wealthy, suburban, typically hardcore Republican House seat in suburban Atlanta, and she ran with a extremely heavy emphasis on her connection to gun violence, and she was overwhelmingly backed by gun control groups.
And of course, Lucy McBath is the mother of Jordan Davis, who was the high school student who was killed in Jacksonville, Florida, as you mentioned, by a 45-year-old white male over an argument that Jordan was playing music. Greg, Virginia Democrats plan to pursue gun control legislation, and it's caught the attention of gun advocates and even some militia groups across the country, and they're saying they want to take action. How is law enforcement preparing for this influx of armed protesters who are planning to come to Richmond in the next few weeks?
There's definitely concern. We're seeing it in the first days of the session. There's a much greater security presence, more Capitol Police, state police officers at the events here, just as, you know, the legislature gets up and running. There's been a lot of planning behind the scenes that they don't like to talk about the particulars. And one question is whether the Democrats are going to try to change these longstanding rules at the Capitol that actually allow people to bring guns into the Capitol. Well, on both House and Senate side, there are many members who have concealed carry permits and carry weapons during the legislature. And then Visitors can also, if you've got a concealed carry permit, bring guns into the Capitol and into the House side. There's some restrictions on the Senate side. So January 20th is a traditional day where citizens come and lobby the legislature here. It's Martin Luther King holiday, so kids are out of school and people are out of work. And so that's the day that the gun rights supporters have designated for this massive rally that they're trying to get people by the thousands to come to Richmond and protest these proposed gun restrictions. So the Democrats are looking at putting some prohibitions in place before that happens to keep thousands of armed people from being in the Capitol itself or in the square around it.
Alex, rounding out the segment here, I mean, when we think about these militia and far-right groups, are they growing across the country in response to the shift that we're seeing when it comes to language and potentially policies about gun control?
They're certainly getting more vocal and more aggressive, and I think they feel that they have to engage in these shows of force because the political tide could be turning. The militia groups have kind of always been there since basically, I would say, 2014, since the Cliven Bundy Bunkerville standoff in Nevada. They've become more emboldened. They've gotten kind of winks and nods and even clear embraces from more mainstream groups like the NRA. One national network of hard right, quote unquote, patriots called the Oath Keepers has actually been signing members up to provide what they call security at Trump campaign events. They sort of see themselves as the thin red line between a potential blue wave and traditional gun rights and what is difficult to see as anything other than a sort of racially tinged nostalgia for a bygone America.
Alex Yablon is a reporter who writes about guns and domestic politics, and Greg Schneider is a staff writer for The Washington Post. Thanks to you both for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.